So I have the privilege of talking about the next session of Give Us Our Daily Bread. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Eilis. I'm married to Luke. We come to this site regularly, so if you come back, you'll see me again, probably. And we have three children, Amini, Matilda and Seth, who are all out in the kids' work. And today is very special because it's my mum's birthday. Oh no, sorry, Amy's here. I forget that she's grown up now. I'm getting older. I'm just in denial that the years are going by. Sorry, Amini. So my mum's here today, which is really special. It's her birthday. And she's been able to come and hear me talk, which is something I never thought would happen in my life. Let's pray, and then we're going to look at Give Us Today Our Daily Bread. Okay, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it brings life. And I pray that there will be life here today. Lord, I pray there'd be freedom here today. I pray there'd be revelation here today as we hear your word, that you would speak to us, Lord, and that we would be changed. Amen. Okay, so first of all then, give us today our daily bread. So what is bread? What is bread? Thought I'd look up a definition of bread. Good place to start. A staple food prepared from a dough of flour and water, usually by baking. Throughout recorded history, it has been a prominent food in large parts of the world and is one of the oldest man-made foods. There we go. That's a little bit about bread. Now, before I give you some fun facts about bread, I thought I'd give you 2 seconds to turn to the person next to you and tell them what your favourite bread is, because there's lots of different types of bread. I know what Toby's favourite bread is, because when we were working on Father in Heaven, there was a lot of sourdough involved. So I know what Toby's is. But quickly tell the person next to you what your favourite type of bread is. Lots of discussion. Okay, I'm going to have to end it there. Sorry, otherwise the whole morning will just be you talking about your favourite type of bread. I didn't realise it would have quite that effect. So there are lots of different types of bread. In fact, there are so many that when you Google it, they can't really tie it down. They just kind of say vaguely there's over 200 different types of bread. There's even an A to Z of breads, which has some of them. So you can look that up in your spare time. But anyway, here's some bread facts for you. So it's actually Turkey that consumes the most bread, which surprised me. Turkish people apparently eat more than 3 times their own body weight in bread annually. In World War II, bread was only allowed to be sold once it was 24 hours old because, in their words, the tastiness of just baked bread is likely to encourage people to eat it immoderately. And there was rationing at the time. Ancient Egyptians used moldy bread as a treatment for infected burn wounds. So, you know, next time you're desperate, if you've got a bit of moldy bread. They were kind of onto something because of penicillin and antibiotics and everything, but they didn't really know why. Soft breadcrumbs used to be used as rubbers before rubbers. Again, if you're desperate, these could come in useful, couldn't they? From 1266 to 2008, it was illegal to sell bread that weighed 600 grams. You knew that? And finally, the first meal consumed on the moon was bread and wine. There we go. So that's, you're now all trivia'd up for the next pub quiz that you go to about bread. And as Johnny was talking last week, he said something really key for me, which hadn't really hit me, which is in the Lord's Prayer, actually bread is the first thing that we're told to ask for. So of all things, why on earth did Jesus command us to pray for bread? And I just thought that's what we're going to be thinking about. Okay. So I believe there's lots of very spiritual reasons, but I also believe it was really practical for his audience at the time. Bread is a key part of most diets around the world, so it would have been accessible and relatable to his hearers, but also to us 2,000 years later. We can still relate to bread. It's not some bizarre, odd food that we've never heard of. It's still part of our daily diet. I think it as well is because it was even relatable and accessible to the very poorest in his society at the time. So we've when we studied the Old Testament, we know that people who owned fields were commanded to leave the edges and the leftovers for the poor to come in and get the corn from afterwards. And they would have been able to grind that up and potentially make bread from it. So bread would have been something that even the poorest in society potentially had access to. It wasn't some grand food that only the very richest and the very elite could get hold of. And I think Jesus was saying right at the start of this, that this message, what he's talking about, is accessible for everyone. It's accessible however much you have or however much you don't have in society. And also, it's about Jesus talking about us asking God for what we need to sustain us daily, not something that's showy or expensive, but what will sustain us, our basic needs. Okay, I think he also chose bread to link firmly back in the minds of his Jewish listeners to the Exodus, when the people were sustained by manna, which is a special type of bread, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute. And finally, but most importantly, Jesus refers to himself in Scripture as the bread of life. And again, we're going to look at that. So I think there's lots of reasons why God makes bread the first thing that we ask for, and I'm going to talk through those. So give us today our daily bread. What is Jesus actually commanding us to ask for? Now, I believe it's important to go back so that we can go forward. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 16 to find out about what happened historically to the Jewish people so that we can understand a bit more of the wider context of what Jesus was talking about. This is a long passage. I've put it up on the screen, so forgive me, but I think it's really important that we read the whole thing in order to really understand everything that Jesus is saying. Okay, so let's have a look. We'll start at verse 1. Hopefully you've had a chance to look that up now. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Happy bunch. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat." Sorry, I'm forgetting to move this on. Oh, no. Okay. Thank you, Linda. I can't do it and read at the same time. You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come." So we're to remember it. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Okay, long story, but it's really important that you hear the whole thing. So the disciples and hearers of Jesus would have had a history firmly rooted in their nation's experiences. They would have been really familiar with this story. It would have been read a bit like sometimes if you go to a more formal church than ours, they have a pattern of Bible verses that they read throughout the year. Well, they would have had the first 5 books of the Bible, which they call the Torah, and they would have read those in a pattern along with the Psalms and some other books. So they would have been constantly reading these stories. They would have studied them. They would have heard them and known it very well. So they would have known about the Exodus. That was their people's history. They would have known about God's amazing provision of the manna every day for 40 years. And I believe there are principles we can pull from this story recorded in the Old Testament that will help us understand what Jesus was communicating to his disciples about how to pray when he gave them the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to pull this phrase apart into 5 sections. It's going to be "give us today, our daily, and bread." Okay, and we're going to look at each one. So the first word, "give us." Now, this has a really broad meaning when you look at the original word used. I'm going to read some of them out and want you to think about when you might use them and in what context. Commit, deliver, grant, strike, to give out something to the other person's advantage, to supply necessary things, to reach out, extend, present. And it also has a link to wages and reward. It's a really, really broad word that they've chosen to use here. And I think that's because actually God needs to be the one that we look to provide everything we need. It isn't literally just food or clothes. Actually, it's protection. It's reward. It's sustenance. It's everything that we need is to come from God. So it's about humbling ourselves and remembering our source. I don't know about you, but I can so easily begin to think that I'm providing for me. I can so easily think when things are going well and I've got a good job and I feel valued by society and I can go out and buy things. Wow, look at me, I'm so successful. Look at what I've got. Woo! And then when things are hard and maybe I lose that job or I have to give that job up or something else happens, I feel ashamed and fearful and as though I haven't provided enough for myself, for my family. It becomes about me and my value. We can have a warped sense of what will meet our needs. We can think, oh, if I just had that spa day, sorry, that's my thing, or if I could buy that latest thing, or if I could go there, if I could have that holiday, that will satisfy me. That will keep me going. Even just the thought of it keeps me going. It sustains me. Maybe we think it'll be the next experience we can have, meeting the right person. Wherever you're at in life, we can all have things that we think will sustain us and satisfy our inner desires. But Jesus' prayer reminds us to come back to the source of it all. The source of the very breath we breathe, and ask him to provide what we need. And asking him becomes an act of faith, doesn't it? We trust that only he can really provide for us body, mind, heart, and soul. He's the only one that will be working for our eternal good. And we don't know, don't we, when we get these other things, they don't actually satisfy us for very long. We then need something else to satisfy us. And when we look at Jesus as the bread of life later, we find out that he is the only one that can sustain us. God provided the manna each day in the right quantity for every person for 40 years, for the whole time that it was needed. And let's remind ourselves, this was the only option the people had, or they'd have starved. They were in a desert. There wasn't loads of food around. And God provided exactly what they needed for the whole time, even when they were grumbling and moaning, even when they were sinning. The manna kept on coming, that daily bread to sustain them, to give them what they need. And we need to have that same attitude to asking God for all that we need. He will provide what we need and when. And we need to be living dependent on him, just as Jesus did. And if we are living like that, then there won't be any other option for us. There'll be nothing else that can sustain us in that way. Okay. So, yeah. God knows what you need to survive. Whether that's physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, God knows exactly what you need, and only he can provide it. Okay, today. So this is quite a request that Jesus allows us to make, isn't it? When you think that we're coming before Almighty God, and we've just spent the first part of the prayer reminding ourselves how glorious and amazing he is, and praying for his kingdom to come. And then we get to go, give us our daily bread today. But that's how we're taught to ask, now, not at some point in the future, not when we've earned it, not when we deserve it, not when we've proved ourselves, but actually today. And I want to just mention here that I think this really ties in with what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. So I'll just read that out to you. I haven't put that on a slide particularly. I think I've put it up here. Yeah. So Matthew 6, verses 31 to 34 says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus is teaching his disciples there and teaching us that we are to live day by day. What do we need today? Ask Jesus, ask our Heavenly Father to provide what we need today. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about next month. Don't worry about next year. Today, what do you need to be asking God for? The manna in the wilderness was for one day only. When the people tried to keep it, because they didn't quite trust it would be there the next day, what happened? It got maggots in it and it went rotten. Why? Because God needed them dependent. He wanted to teach them that only he could provide for them. And it's the same for us. We're to live in the same way. What we get from God, we can't bottle. We're to use it. We're to enjoy it. We're to give it away. We're to share it. God will give us enough for today, and we just use it, trusting him that tomorrow there'll be enough of what we need for tomorrow. And then we give that away and use it and enjoy it and share it. And then we get enough for the next day. So we're living very differently from the people around us. Now, this isn't just money. It's emotion, time, energy,
Whatever you need, provided. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Okay, I keep forgetting to click on. Come on. Okay, hour. Now, when you read this, you can think, okay, well, this is a very kind of corporate prayer, isn't it? Give us today our daily bread. So maybe God's only talking about providing what we need as a church or as a body or as people en masse, kind of not just for me. I'm doing the Western thing of making it all about me, and actually it's not meant to be. But actually the word does also mean I, me, and my. So it's not wrong to apply it individually as well as corporately, okay? So again, if we look back at the story in Exodus, God told each person to take what they needed for them and their family. They weren't to take greedily. They were to take an omer each. So they took what was needed. God knows what we need for what he has called us to. So what you get from God will be different from what somebody else gets from God when they ask him to provide. Because actually, he knows what he's called you to. And I think this really comes back to that point of listen and obey, doesn't it? So as we listen to God and obey him, we can trust him to provide what, for whatever we're called into. Actually, if we're living according to God's plan day by day by day, he will then provide. And I think for some of you, maybe there's a little bit of a, God's been speaking to you about stepping out into something and you've been worried about him providing for that. And I think he wants you to come back to this principle and to trust him that if you know he's called you into it, then you're to do it, trusting that day by day he will provide for you and your family. I think it's also corporate, so it's not just for me and my, but actually it's for us as a church. We can ask for each other. So if someone's struggling and needs something, whether it's emotional, again, spiritual, physical, we can ask together for that person. We can ask others to pray with us. But also as a church family, we trust God daily to provide what we need. And we've seen him come through, haven't we, amazingly, in the recent offering where we were asking and going, oh God, please, 60,000 maybe, if you'd be so kind. And he provided 128,000. So we're getting our own stories of God providing what we need. Okay. Daily. So the word for daily is kind of the phrase, bread of our necessity, the bread that suffices for each day. So it's thought that in Jesus' time, bread was taken with every meal. So it wasn't just something you'd have at lunchtime, whatever, but with every meal you would have some bread. And I think sometimes when we read this, we can think, I have to come to God first thing in the morning, like they did with the manna, and I have to eat it then, and that's my provision for the day. And if I don't do that, then I've screwed up as a Christian, and there's nothing else for me all day, and I'm basically going to have to starve until the next day. And I think this really challenges that thought. Actually, the hearers that Jesus would have been speaking to would have been thinking, actually, bread with every meal, God, throughout the day. Not just once in the morning, but actually throughout the day. There is a great principle of coming to God first thing in the morning. And if you can manage that, amen, hallelujah, praise God, that's wonderful. And it is a great way to start the day. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes things crop up. And actually, that doesn't mean you have to starve for the whole day. And equally, if you have met with God first thing in the morning, that doesn't mean that you can just live without any awareness of him for the rest of the day because you had your quiet time. I think there's a principle of being aware of God continuously throughout our day, of feeding on him, like thinking about what he's speaking to us about, listening. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What should I be doing in this situation? What do you want for me to do? Can you provide for this? So I think it should be throughout the day. So let's be thankful. So as we eat, as we work, as we play, let's remind ourselves constantly where all of this comes from, because every good gift comes from heaven above. Every good gift is from God. Let's be expectant. So the Israelites would have been nervous, wouldn't they, the first few days? And that's why some of them disobeyed and went and gathered enough for several days, just in case God didn't really show up. He said he was going to. Brought us out of Egypt when he said he would. But we've been slaves for a long time before that. Maybe he won't show up tomorrow. Maybe I'd better just take a bit more, just in case. But actually, over 40 years, I think they learned that he was going to show up every day. And I think we need to have that kind of attitude of expectancy. God will show up. Even when we're not faithful, he will show up. He will show up for us, not always in the way we expect, but he will daily provide what we need. Okay, let's not take God's provision for granted. So for the Israelites, eventually it became so ordinary that they went to the other extreme. They were grumbling and taking it for granted, forgetting the amazing miracle, the amazing provision. Let's not get like that. Let's not take what God gives us for granted. Let's stay humble and thankful and dependent and grateful. Let's not start to think that our lives are working because we're amazing. Let's not start to think when we have lots of things to share with others that it's because we're better than anybody else. Everything we have comes from God. If we're living, God has called me to this. He's provided this for me. I'm sharing it. I'm using it. I'm enjoying it. I'm using it up every day and trusting him for the next thing. Then there's no room for pride. There's no room for, oh, I did this. Look at my wonderful life that I've built. It's all because this is what God wants me to be doing with my life. And he's giving me what I need. And then I'm sharing it. Okay. Yeah, so bread is a staple of the diet, isn't it? It's not the posh, fancy meal. It's ordinary. It's down to earth. It was eaten with every meal. Every culture recognizes it. Even the poorest would have had it accessible to them. So God isn't promising us, by asking this, whatever we want. An easy life, a mansion, a Porsche, the perfect partner. But he's promising us whatever we need to fulfill his plans and purposes in our lives. So it says in the Bible, commit your way to the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. And it's that listen and obey again, isn't it? What's God calling me to? Okay, then I can step out in faith knowing my heavenly Father will provide whatever I need for that day. Finally, Jesus is for every day. Jesus isn't just for special occasions. Jesus isn't just for Christmas and Easter and festivals. Jesus isn't to be kept in a box and brought out. He's for every day. He's for the ordinary. He's for every meal. He is the bread of life and we need him every day. Okay, last section. Bread. Now, when they talk about bread of heaven, which is the phrase that's used about manna, there's two meanings to this. So it can mean the bread of creation in the sense of literal bread of the sky. So it kind of fell from the sky, the manna, literally. Bread of what we can see, bread of the physical. But it can also mean bread of heaven in terms of the abode of God, where all happiness, all power, all eternity dwells. The bread of something higher than where other celestial bodies revolve. And this gave me tingles when I read this. It also means bread of the gospel. So right back in that phrase, bread of heaven, back in the Old Testament, I'm going to take this off, sorry, because it's really annoying me. There was a sense of bread of the gospel, the good news, linking it to Jesus. And I want to read John 6, verses 48 to 51, to see how Jesus referred to himself. Oh, I'm forgetting John comes after Luke. That's not good, is it? John 6, verses 48 to 51. So Jesus has fed the 5,000, been this amazing miracle. His disciples have then gone, show us a miracle so we can believe in you. And he's like, did you just see that maybe? No? feeding 5,000 from two loaves and a couple of fish wasn't enough for you? Okay. Or five loaves and two fish even. So then Jesus is trying to teach them about who he is and linking it to this miracle of providing the bread. And he says in verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they still died. But here, talking about himself, is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, that caused him all sorts of problems saying that. Loads of people left him. Ooh, this is a bit weird. Ooh. What's he actually saying here? To talk a bit more about this, I want to take you back to the bread itself. So the bread that Jesus would have been talking about, that they would have been eating, was huge. I want you to picture a cake as thick as a thumb and as large as a plate. And this bread was so big that it couldn't be cut. It had to be broken. And this is the bread that Jesus is picturing. It was consecrated to the Lord, and it was used at love feasts and the Lord's table. When Jesus was referring to himself as the bread of life, he was talking about God providing bread that would be broken and given out to give life to all the world. Jesus isn't talking about us literally eating his flesh. He's using physical things to talk about spiritual realities, which he did a lot and really confused people. And it's part of the mystery. When God reveals this in your heart, it's a spiritual mystery how he does it. The Holy Spirit comes and he touches you and he enables your eyes to see and your ears to hear and your mind to understand. And the disciples hadn't got it at this point. They were thinking he was literally talking about cannibalism or vampirism or something. But he's not. He's using that physical reality that they would have been familiar with every meal of breaking that bread up, to talk about himself. Not literal bread, spiritual bread. So the eating part of the bread of Jesus, the eating of Jesus, is actually trusting and believing in Jesus, especially for his death for the sins of mankind. That's how you eat the bread of life. That's how you get eternal life. And it's the only way you can get eternal life, because only Jesus is the bread from heaven. Okay. Now, a phrase I saw as I was studying for this was angel bread. The people couldn't describe what this bread was like. The word manna literally means, what is it? It was like nothing they'd ever seen or tasted before. And when you think about it, they're stuck in a desert. We don't hear they all got rickets. We don't hear they were all malnourished, that lots of babies were born with deformities. They were healthy enough to live in a desert for 40 years with birds in the evening and this bread in the morning. Now, you think about everything we know about a healthy, balanced diet. That must have been some amazing bread. Don't you think? But it still only satisfied physical hunger. Jesus is more amazing, as we've been learning about. He's greater than that amazing physical bread. That provided for their physical needs, but Jesus provides every need. He's far superior to even that amazing bread. He provides true spiritual satisfaction. He takes that eternal longing that's placed inside each one of us, and only he can satisfy it. When John Gross was speaking a couple of weeks ago, he talked about living according to the flesh, and I'd always thought that was just sins, but actually he said, no, it's just kind of living the same as everybody else around you, just living like the world, not living any differently. And actually, when we're looking to everything else to satisfy us rather than Jesus, then we're just living like everybody else. We become desperate like everybody else. We get malnourished like everybody else, and it leads to death eventually, spiritual death. Because we're not getting the nutrients, we're not getting the needs met that we need meeting. We are able to eat of bread that is different from what the world gets to eat of. We get to be sustained by something that is different from anybody around us. So we need to be feeding ourselves on Jesus, not trying to meet our needs in the same way as everybody around us. When we sustain ourselves by eating the bread of life, which is Jesus, it will taste like nothing else. We will be supernaturally sustained, and we will be satisfied and fulfilled. Our lives will be balanced and fruitful. We'll be truly alive. And we get to do this every day. We get to absorb Jesus every day. We get to come to him every day and have all those needs met, which I think is just amazing. So think about how we respond to this today. Let's have a look. So first of all, maybe there's some people here today and you don't know Jesus as your bread of life. You've never trusted him. You've never trusted in his death on the cross to meet your needs and to save you. And actually today Jesus can do that. It's not something magic. Like I say, it's the Holy Spirit coming and living in you, giving you suddenly eyes that can see, ears that can hear, a mind that can understand what's being said. And if that's you this morning, then we would really love to pray with you and just encourage you, because God is meeting with you and he wants to come and be with you. Maybe you need provision. God's called you into something and you need to ask him today for what you need. Actually, we'd love to pray with you for that as well. Maybe you've been relying on yourself or just the same things as everybody else to satisfy you and to satisfy those longings and needs deep inside you. Repent is quite a heavy word, but it just means say sorry and turn in the other direction. So it just means say sorry and turn to Jesus and start trusting him to meet those needs rather than everything and everyone else. And finally, maybe God's speaking to you. This isn't a law or a rule, but maybe God's speaking to you about starting to get a bit more routine into your time with him. Maybe some time daily to spend with him. Maybe thinking about him at different points throughout the day. Because God wants you to be feeding on him constantly for what you need. And he's always there and he always wants to help you.